And I love that old cross where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain.
So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown.
To the old rugged cross I will shame and reproach gladly bear. Then he'll call me someday to my home far away, where his glory forever I'll share.
So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a someday for a crown.
St. Stephen's, welcome. Welcome to the sanctuary here in Qualicum Beach. We are so delighted that you can join us today as we remember. We remember what Jesus has done for us on the cross. If you need to stop this recording to prepare the elements for communion of either bread or crackers and some wine or juice, then please do that now. But let's greet each other with the holy greeting on this Remembrance Sunday, when we also remember the sacrifice of so many in Canada. We give thanks for their sacrifices throughout the years. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. As we do every Communion Sunday, please hear the land acknowledgement in which we give thanks for where we are free to worship because of the graciousness of the First Nations here. We are honoured to gather, serve, and worship on the traditional and unceded territory of the Qualicum First Nation, the traditional keepers of this land. We seek to live with respect for these original peoples and to honour their values and the land they have called home for thousands of years. We also pay our respects for and acknowledge the lives lost and the courage of the survivors of residential schools and commit to support, advocate for, and contribute to the implementation of the calls to action of the Truth and Reconciliation Commission of Canada. Let's join together in the act of remembrance. They shall not grow old as we that are left grow old. Age shall not weary them, nor the years condemn. At the going down of the sun and in the morning, we will remember them. We will remember them. As you are able, please stand for the National Anthem of Canada. Let's join together in the call to worship today. Holy Triune God, from everlasting to everlasting, you are Lord. Let the whole earth shout with joy before the Lord. We lift up our voices with joy and singing. Great is our Lord the King. Your judgments are true, and all of creation awaits your rightful rule. We lift up our voices with joy and singing. Great is our Lord the King. In righteousness, will you judge the world and all the peoples with equity? We lift up our voices with singing. Great is our Lord the King. Who is like our God, King over all the earth? We lift up our voices with joy and singing. Great is our Lord, the King. If you light a candle for worship, let's do that together, remembering Jesus, the light and salvation of the world. Please pray with me. On this day of memory, we gather to sing and to pray. We remember the past and look to the future. On this day, when the guns once fell silent, we come before you, God, seeking your peace. On this day of hope in the face of terror, we come before you, God, praying with all our hearts. God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come. Help us to find the path that leads to the peaceable kingdom. Open our eyes and the eyes of the nations to find a different path through the disagreements of life in this world. In this time of story, song, and prayer, may we be recommitted to being people of peace, true peace. May we catch a vision of how the world could live together. And so we echo the old prayers. Make us channels of your peace. Let there be peace on earth, and let it begin with us. Amen. Let's join together in the prayer of confession. We confess, Lord, that there are times when doubts overwhelm us and we wonder if our present life isn't all that there is. When the going gets difficult, we wonder too if you are really alive in us today. Forgive us for such lack of faith, we pray, and by the power of your Holy Spirit, dispel our doubts and strengthen our faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Friends, our God is a God of the living. The Holy One is making a place for us that is full of life and love, forgiveness and humility, kindness, justice, and peace. Our belonging to God is our salvation, so we can rest in that truth and find the life God has for us. Thanks be to God, and God's people say, Amen. Friends, as it is a Sunday when we are gathering at Jesus' table and celebrating communion together, let's say together one of the great creeds of our church. This month we are saying the Nicene Creed. Please join me. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Today's scripture reading is found in Luke chapter 20, verses 27 through 38, and I'm reading from the Message translation. Some Sadducees came up. This is the Jewish party that denies any possibility of resurrection. They asked, "Teacher, Moses wrote us that if a man dies and leaves a wife, but no child, his brother is obligated to marry her and give her children. Well, there once were seven brothers. The first took a wife. She died childless. The second married her and died, and then the third. And eventually all seven had their turn, but no child. After all that, the wife died. That wife, now in the resurrection, whose wife is she? All seven married her." Jesus said, "Marriage is a major preoccupation here, but not there. Those who are included in the resurrection of the dead will no longer be concerned with marriage, nor, of course, with death. They will have better things to think about, if you can believe it. All ecstasies and intimacies then will be with God. Even Moses exclaimed about resurrection at the burning bush, saying, 'God, God of Abraham, God of Isaac, God of Jacob, God isn't the God of dead men, but of the living. To him, all are alive.' This is God's good news for us."
If any of you have ever been a part of a Bible study or a group that I may have led, you will know that I have a growing list of questions that I can't wait to ask Jesus when I finally get to sit with him face to face. This list is made up of things that I haven't been able to work out yet, things that kind of leave me scratching my head and wondering what I'm missing. I suspect I'm not the only person with such a list. Some of you may very well have lists of your own. Well, this whole exchange between Jesus and the Sadducees that we hear about in our scripture reading today actually began with a question that they had. But where our questions are generally honest puzzles that of things we're truly wondering about, the Sadducees' question wasn't quite so honestly asked. They ask him a question about the resurrection, a belief that was held by the Pharisees and many others, including Jesus, that there will one day come a day when all who have died will rise. Now, here's the problem with the Sadducees asking about this. Important topic. We probably all have questions about it. But what you need to know is that the Sadducees didn't actually believe in a resurrection. So when they asked Jesus about this, they weren't really looking for an answer. They were trying to trap him. They were hoping that he would back himself into a theological corner that he couldn't get out of. They thought they could force him into saying either that the laws of Moses were wrong, or that his claim that there is a resurrection was wrong. And either way, they hoped his followers and other people would see him as a fake and would abandon him and the movement that he had begun. And if they could make that happen, then the problems that were being created by Jesus' movement for the Sadducees would hopefully all go away. So this wasn't a real question they were asking. It was meant to be an intellectual trap. So they set up this absurd hypothetical scenario about seven brothers who one after another marry the same woman, each one ending up dying and leaving her without children, without a son specifically. That whole question from the Sadducees was actually based on a teaching Moses gave that we can read in Deuteronomy that said that if a man is to die and not leave a son to carry on his family line, then his brother must marry his wife and try to do that so that the family name continues. The Sadducees thought that they could trap Jesus in this law. Now, as we think about the teachings and the laws that were given to the Jewish people, the part of the scriptures that we call the Old Testament, it is important to remember that they weren't simply laws for the sake of having laws. They were meant to serve good purposes, to enhance the life that the people knew as part of the community of God's people. They were meant to make that life better. In this case, this particular law was meant to both ensure that a man's family line continued and that his widow was not left destitute, but had a way of being cared and provided for. Remember, in the ancient world, women didn't generally have ways of making an honest living, and so in general, they relied on their husbands to provide for them. If your husband died or for some reason left, you were in very real danger of being penniless and not being able to do anything about it yourself. And that's why the prophets often urge God's people to ensure that they're caring for the widows and the orphans, because without a husband or a father, life could get pretty bleak pretty quickly. Well, the Sadducees thought that this law would itself prove that there couldn't be a resurrection. Because if there was, then this law would create this giant mess with situations like they'd laid out. Seven husbands all alive, whose wife is she really? Well, what they failed to consider was that in the resurrection life to come, laws like that would actually be unnecessary. You don't need a law to force a marriage, because the community would just naturally care for everyone. One of the amazing promises for the future is that all of our needs will be completely and abundantly met in that resurrection life, when our life with God and with others is reconciled and restored, and people are just naturally compassionate and generous. So that's why Jesus started his response to them by distinguishing between the people of this age and those in the age to come. Because things are going to be different after the resurrection in the age to come. Laws won't be needed anymore because the fallenness of humankind that necessitates the law will all be behind us. Well, by asking this question, the Sadducees were hoping that Jesus would end up denying the authority of Moses' teaching, and that in doing that, he would alienate himself from the Jewish faith and from the Jewish people. But, you know, in his classic way, Jesus doesn't just sidestep this trap. He takes the challenge head on and sort of turns it back on them. He himself turns to Moses. It's almost as if he says, fine, you want to talk about Moses? Let's talk about Moses. And then he rises above what they had been trying to turn into a religious debate and truly answers their dishonestly asked question. He takes them right back to the day that God first called Moses at the burning bush, something that happened long before any of those laws were even given. In that encounter, Moses, you will remember, was drawn to this bush that's on fire, but somehow isn't being consumed by the flames. When he goes close, God speaks to him from that bush. God told him to take off his shoes, for he was standing on holy ground. Moses is in the presence of God. And God says to Moses these same words that we just heard Jesus repeat to the Sadducees that day. God said, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He proclaimed himself to be the God of Israel's patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the three first generations of men from whom all of the people of Israel were descended. Men who had actually all died up to 400 years before. Please note, God did not say, I was the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He said, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. As in, I still am. Jesus showed the Sadducees that because of that, we know from Moses' own personal encounter with God that he is not the God of the dead, but of the living. For as Jesus says here in our reading, to God, all are alive. With that simple reflection on God's words to Moses, Jesus adeptly shows the Sadducees and everyone listening then and listening now that his promise of resurrection doesn't contradict Moses' teaching, but rather is entirely in keeping with everything that God has been saying and doing all along. Somehow those who have gone before us and died are somehow, in some way, from God's perspective, alive. How is that possible? Well, honestly, we don't know yet. An Old Testament scholar that I have a lot of time for once said in a lecture I was listening to that the Bible doesn't tell us everything we want to know, but it does tell us everything we need to know. The biblical story doesn't clearly tell us how we will get to that life that comes beyond death. But as we've heard here, and as we've heard in other parts of the biblical story, and even more importantly, as we've seen in Jesus' own resurrection appearances, the Bible does show us that somehow there is a life beyond death. And for now, that is what we need to know and hold on to. In the wise words of St. Paul, for now we see only as a reflection in a mirror, but then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. Friends, we live in a time when the idea that one day people might be raised from the dead, it's thought by many to be completely preposterous. It's laughed off as a simple, archaic fantasy. But you know, for 2,000 years, very, very smart people have been putting our scriptures to the test. And they've come to believe that this is not just some baseless, fantastic dream. It's a promise that is actually built on the surest foundation possible, the character of the God that we have seen revealed in Jesus Christ. The God revealed in the stories of Scripture, the God revealed in the person of Jesus, cannot and will not lie. He's a God who is active and whose every move since the beginning of time has been about loving and restoring all that he's created. He's a God whose deepest desire is to see all humankind and the rest of God's amazing creation finally living the life we were designed for. A life that is full and vibrant and free. A life that is marked by goodness and grace and by hope and by peace. A life in which death, in all of the many ways that it touches our lives and our world, will truly be gone. A life that God has actually been leading us to since the beginning. And bringing us to that life is God's mission. It's the entire reason Jesus was born, lived, died, and was resurrected. It is the mission that Jesus continues to call everyone who chooses to follow him to. We are part of bringing that life to this world. And that life is the hope that we bring to days like today, Remembrance Sunday, and days like last Sunday, All Saints, as we remember the people who have gone before us. Our loved ones may be physically gone from us, but we all know that our love for them remains as alive and real in our lives as it ever was. We know in our experience and in our hearts that what St. Paul says is true. Love never dies. So my beloved friends, if that is true for each of us, how much more true must it be of God's love for us? God's love never dies. It never gives up or lets us go. God's love will not abandon us in this life, and it certainly will not abandon us to the darkness of death. And because of that, because of who and how our God is in his love for us, we can trust that the love and the life with God and with each other that we were all created for, it will be waiting for us on that glorious day when all is at last made new. Amen.
Hello, please join me in the prayers of the people. Today's prayer is a responsive prayer. When I say, let us pray to the Lord, please respond with, Lord, have mercy. We pray for Diane, Fiona, Adele, our board, and the St. Stephen's congregation, and for all clergy and people. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For our mayor and council, our provincial and federal leaders, and for the leaders of the nations, and for all in authority, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For our town of Qualicum Beach and the Oceanside area, and for every city and community, and for those who live in them, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. We are thankful for the return of much-needed rain in the fall season and for abundance of the fruits of the earth. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the good earth which God has given us and for the wisdom and will to conserve it, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the aged and infirm, for the widowed and orphans, and for the sick and suffering, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. And we pray for all who are in our thoughts and are in our hearts, aloud or silently now. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the poor and the oppressed, for the unemployed and the destitute, for prisoners and captives, and for all who remember and care for them, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. We pray for all who have served our nation throughout the years and the ones that continue to serve. And we say thanks and we remember them. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For all who have died in the hope of the resurrection and for all the departed, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Risen Lord, the way, the truth, and the life, make us faithful followers of the spirit of your resurrection. Grant that we may be inwardly renewed, dying to ourselves in order that you may live in us. May our lives serve as signs of the transforming power of your love. Use us as your instruments for the renewal of society, bringing your life and love to all and leading them to your church. This we ask of you, Lord Jesus, living and reigning with the Father in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God forever. Amen.
Friends, welcome to Jesus' table. You are most welcome here. The Lord be with you, and also with you. Lift up your hearts. We lift them up to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right for us to give thanks and praise. It is truly right to glorify you, Father, and to give you thanks, for you alone are God, living and true, dwelling in light inaccessible from before time and forever. Fountain of all life and source of all goodness, you made all things and fill them with your blessing. You created them to rejoice in the splendor of your radiance. Countless throngs of angels stand before you to serve you night and day. And beholding the glory of your presence, they offer you unceasing praise. Joining with them and giving voice to every creature under heaven, we glorify your name and lift our voices in joyful praise. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. All holy God, how wonderful is the work of your hands. When sin had scarred the world, you entered into covenant to renew the whole creation. As a mother tenderly gathers her children, as a father joyfully welcomes his own, you embraced a people as your own and filled them with longing for a peace that would last and for a justice that would never fail. Through countless generations, your people hungered for the bread of freedom. From them you raised up Jesus, your Son, the living bread, in whom ancient hungers are satisfied. He healed the sick, though he himself would suffer. He offered life to sinners, though death would hunt him down. But with a love stronger than death, he opened wide his arms and surrendered his spirit. On the night before he met with death, Jesus came to the table with those he loved. He took bread and praised you, God of all creation. He broke the bread among his disciples and said, "Take this, all of you, and eat it. This is my body given for you." When the supper was ended, he took a cup of wine and gave thanks to you, God of all creation. He passed the cup among his disciples and said, "Take this, all of you, and drink from it. This is the cup of the new covenant sealed in my blood for the forgiveness of sin. Do this in remembrance of me." Gracious God, as we offer you our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, we commemorate Jesus, your Son. Death could not bind him, for you raised him up in the spirit of holiness and exalted him as Lord of creation. Therefore, we proclaim our faith as signed and sealed in this sacrament. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Eternal God, let your Holy Spirit move in power over us and over these earthly gifts of bread and wine, that our sharing of them may be for us the communion of the body and blood of Christ, and that we may become one in him. May his coming in glory find us ever watchful in prayer, strong in truth and love, and faithful in the breaking of the bread. Then at last all peoples will be free, all divisions healed, and with your whole creation we will sing your praise through your Son, Jesus Christ. Let's say together the prayer Jesus has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Friends, this is the body of Christ, and it was broken for you. And this is the blood of Christ, and it was poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Please, I invite you to consume the elements in the places where you are gathered.
Sons of the earth, how beautiful. waits for her groom with his light in her eyes. How beautiful when humble hearts give the fruit of pure life so that others may live. How beautiful, how beautiful, how beautiful is the body of Christ. How beautiful the feet that bring the sound of good news and the love of the King. How beautiful the hands that serve the wine and the bread and the sons of the earth. How beautiful.
Having eaten at Jesus' table, let's say together now our prayer of after communion. Lord God, in gratitude, deep gratitude, for this moment, this meal, these people, we give ourselves to you. Take us out to live as changed people, because we have shared the living bread and cannot remain the same. Ask much of us, expect much from us, enable much by us, encourage many through us. So, Lord, may we live to your glory, both as inhabitants of the earth and citizens of the commonwealth of heaven. Amen. With great gratitude for the ways that members of the St. Stephen's community, both here in person and those of you online, are so faithfully giving to the work of the church, we thank you for those gifts. Will you join me in praying to dedicate them to God's use? O God, we are determined to do our part in the work of your kingdom, and so we present our offerings for your church to enable it to carry on the ministry of Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. Friends, may God the Father bless you and keep you. May God the Son save you and direct you. And may God the Spirit teach you and enliven you this day and evermore. Amen.
That I face, stronger than the power of the grave, constant in the trial and the change. This one thing remains, this one thing remains. Love never fails and never gives up.
fails and never gives up and never runs out on me.